Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 31st and final day of August, 2022. Boy, summer seems to have flown by pretty rapidly. I'm your host, Mark Call, and today I definitely believe there's a theme to the news, and I really think it's going to become increasingly obvious as I go through some of these stories. There's an order here, so stay with me and see if it doesn't kind of make sense. First off, we'll start with the mundane, or at least what's become mundane. Yet another food processing plant went up in flames over the weekend. Add this poultry business in California, says the piece from Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, to the growing list of U.S. food plants that have been, knocked offline one way or the other. I guess we could say by hook or by crooks in the past year due to what are called accidental fires. This time it's the QC Poultry Processing Plant in Montebello, California, just east of L.A. And if you've already lost track, folks, after the first few dozen at this point, just remember, keep repeating it along with the waste stream, they're all accidental, even if that's a statistically unbelievable anomaly. Like, we've already had 4 or 5 times more such fires this year than all the previous 5 years combined. So here's a story that's definitely, no question about it, not an accident. The Biden regime recently sent, what else, armed federal agents to Miller's Organic Farm in Amish country, Pennsylvania, and demanded Achtung, the farm cease operations immediately. The authorities also fined the small family-owned farm $300,000, which basically puts them out of business. It's located in the remote Amish village of Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania, been around for 30 years, and it supplies, this is what you're not allowed to have, grass-fed beef and cheese, raw milk and organic eggs, and even dairy from grass-fed water buffalo, as well as all types of produce, to about 4,000 private food club members who pay for high-quality, whole, organic food. Says the farm owner, Amos Miller, he's preparing food the way God intended. But as you know, Big Brother's not about to allow that. Food clubs, says the story from Natural News, value their freedom. And people like being supplied with food from an independent farmer that does not process meat and dairy at the United States Department of Achtung facilities. Miller says he does it because he believes the requirements make the food less nutritious. And guess what? Miller's used religious exemptions in the past, and you can see what's being done to those, can't you? Once upon a time protected by the First Amendment and explicitly allowed by law to the Amish in order to maintain their traditional standard of life. Miller doesn't use gasoline or fertilizer either, which makes them unaffected by the Ukraine war and the sanctions that have been imposed upon the West as a result of the shoot yourself in the foot and then reload idiocy. Says one of the reports out of the area, federal agents have raided the all-natural Amish organic farm, shut it down, find it out of existence. 1,000 local residents are now going to have to find another food source. And here's the irony, not like we haven't seen this coming and seen it over and over again too. While it's the same government that doesn't want Americans fed, they're more than willing to send 50 billion American fiat bucks to Ukraine. And don't even ask what happens, folks, if or when they succeed in inciting the inevitable attack. And not only is U.S. military readiness been destroyed by the poison poke, but they got no weapons left either. Said Tucker Carlson, reporting on the story, we wouldn't even know about this because the effort was hidden by Big Brother and Waystream Media if it wasn't for Jeremy Lafredo, a reporter for Rebel News USA, who told Carlson, by taking out the middleman, by taking out the government, you're taking power away and taking leverage away from the government and putting that power and leverage in the hands of the local community, the farmers and the people. And if you haven't figured it out yet, this is the message that's being sent as to what that will get you. And remember, it's not just the tyrannical U.S. that wants people starved. Dutch farmers in the Netherlands are realizing they too are an endangered species. Dutch police recently arrested over 100 people, says the story, in retaliation for demonstrations resisting their communist green agenda. That's really kind of like a watermelon. Green on the outside, red is all get out on the inside. That is intended to cause farmers to lose their livelihoods. The Green Deal now mandates Dutch farmers cut their nitrogen emissions between half and 95%, depending upon where they have the misfortune to be located. And the only way to do that, of course, is shut down their farms and kill off their cattle. I gotta ask it again, is an 87,000 strong new IRS standing army starting to make more and more sense? Here's a quick story next out of another neo-communist hellhole. I guess your host can't help but think the connection is kind of obvious. The Equality Division, how's that for a laugher? Out of the Supreme Court in South Africa has ruled that the popular song Kill the Boers is not, repeat not, anything associated with hate speech, although the hateful song, says Remix News, courtesy of Zero Hedge, which celebrates the killing of white Dutch settlers in South Africa, is protected. That's one of the very few things, I guess it actually is, by freedom of expression, and must be left, and that's the key word, to the political debate within society, says the court. And this, of course, in case you've forgotten, is the song that says, shoot the Boers, shoot, shoot, among other things. What do you bet that if it was shoot any other ethnic group that was a little bit, say, off-white, it would be verboten in the max? And hey, folks, don't you just love how inclusive these communist regimes are turning out to be? On then to the consequences of making war on just about everybody. This one comes courtesy of oilprice.com and Charles Kennedy, also Zero Hedge, Natural News, and hopefully others. The world's biggest energy company, Gazprom, in Russia, has officially halted gas supplies to Europe via the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, cutting off flows to Germany completely for a, supposedly anyway, period of maintenance. It began at 0100 GMT Wednesday and is scheduled to end, maybe, on Saturday. But fears are mounting across the European Union, says the story, that Russia will delay flows beyond September the 3rd as the Kremlin continues to respond to the weapon of Western sanctions with the weapon of depriving people of what they sell, like natural gas, an allegation that the story says Moscow has repeatedly denied. They're saying the cutoff will be temporary as planned, noting the pipeline would restart after about 3 days, provided, quote, no malfunctions are identified. But even when it does start back up, it'll only be at 20% of the pipeline's capacity. In a related story, effective immediately, says Natural News' coverage, Gazprom is massively reducing natural gas flows to France, a move that the French Prime Minister warns will almost certainly lead to fuel rationing this winter. It's what socialists do. And French authorities warn cutting usage just might not be enough to keep the power on this winter. Far-left French President Emmanuel Macron has already made his own ominous warning that the end of abundance has now arrived for France. Some of his folks warned years ago that it arrived when freedom departed. And while we're on the subject of the end of abundance and freedom departing, the strategic reserves in the once-free United States have now fallen to a 37-year low as the senile imposture in the White House continues to release millions of barrels of oil, putting them up for sale, with most of it going overseas, including to communist China. According to the latest report from the Department of Energy via Natural News, the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, no longer strategic and pretty much no longer with any reserves, has fallen to just over 453 million barrels as of August 19th, the lowest since 1985, and stockpiles, they note, have fallen by more than 180 million barrels this year alone as the Biden regime has ordered the release of record amounts of crude oil, supposedly to cure sky-high fuel prices. But really, folks, it's about depleting the emergency reserves because they know what they've got planned coming real soon. And if you can't take the hints that have already been dropped from places like France and Germany, you're probably going to be stuck at home in the cold once the snow starts to fly. And I guess since we're kind of on the subject of warnings from the communist EU, this one's appropriate. Even as the people of Germany, says Paul Joseph Watson for his Summit News, struggle with a serious cost of living crisis and, of course, the upcoming really cold winter, they're being told by a Green Party minister that, oh, they need a new tax on meat, too, because you folks are supposed to eat bugs, don't you know? Given that Germans are already facing soaring food inflation and energy bills as a result of gas shortages caused by the planned provocation in Ukraine, the last thing they need, he suggests, is another tax to pay. But that doesn't bother Federal Minister of Food and Agriculture, Cem Özdemir of the Green Party, who complained that people are eating the wrong food. And he wants them to eat less meat, and he's prepared to make sure they can't afford to anyway. We need to be, quote, adapting meat consumption to planetary boundaries and for the sake of our health.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, sure. It's healthier, good for the climate, and helps the global food situation because areas get freed up that we previously needed for cultivating animal feed, unquote. And he vowed that too much cheap meat was being produced, and that's now coming to an end, along with the rest of German freedom and the ability to heat their homes and take warm showers. All right, time to ask the question I set up in the first few seconds of the show today. Are you starting to see a theme emerging here yet? Well, here's a clue, a piece from Stefan Stanford at the All News Pipeline entitled, The global communists are using energy to ensure maximum death through a weaponized energy crisis to maximize our winter of great suffering. And I guess I have to say, okay, gee, isn't that pretty well already obvious? And he ties together some stories I did earlier in the week to boot about people in Poland waiting in line in their cars for days trying to get some coal to survive the coming winter. At least they know what's coming. Here's a story from Jordan Schachtel at the dossier entitled Black Hole. As billions and billions and billions of fiat bucks worth of American arms and aid enter Ukraine, U.S. officials are receiving, I hope you're sitting down, folks, handwritten receipts. It's all paper, and doesn't that make it a bit harder to track? And isn't that convenient? Ukraine, he begins, is consistently ranked as one of the most corrupt governments in all of Europe. Think about that. Given that reality, he says it might not come as much of a surprise that Kiev has no functioning mechanism to track the massive amount of inflows of American weapons, ammunition, and aid into the country. And with tens of billions of dollars already flowing to Ukraine and untold billions in military equipment being shipped across the border, when U.S. arms and aid enter Ukraine, it seems to enter a black hole. Given the notorious corruption there, maybe, if you followed the lead up to the election theft, folks, you knew this was coming, maybe that's all by design. Where do all those weapons, ammunition, and aid end up, anyway? Well, nobody knows. Not even the Inspector General, who's supposed to be the American watchdog on this effort. In a Bloomberg article from over the weekend entitled Torrent of Cash for Ukraine Arms Puts Pentagon Watchdog on Alert, an amazing bombshell came out via a quote in the story that seems to apply something opposite the piece's theme of accountability. The Pentagon official, Inspector General Sean O'Donnell, is quoted as saying that Ukrainian officials do their accounting of American equipment and aid with, quote, hand receipts. It's all paper. And he noted that he doesn't think they have, quote, much fidelity as to where all of these arms and ammo end up. And here some folks maybe thought that Afghanistan was a horrible embarrassment, a debacle, and a lesson. No, it was a dress rehearsal. The author, in his conclusion, puts succinctly what your host has been suggesting, literally for months, if not years at this point, has been hard to deny. This news comes amid reports that active duty American service members are being relinquished of vital munitions, including high-tech weapons that are not easily replaced, so that these arms and ammunition can be sent to Ukraine. Ignoring the troublesome supply chain issues, Secretary of Defense, sick, the traitorous, and I put that word in there, Lloyd Austin, has insisted upon draining American military stockpiles by a very significant percentage of overall inventory, rendering the U.S. military in a more vulnerable position. And right, folks, as they're poking the bear and the dragon. Isn't that amazing? The American military, he continues, is being comprehensively disarmed to prop up the Biden administration's proxy war in Ukraine, down to the last Ukrainian soldier, against Russia. And in the process of their pursuit of this skirmish, arguably the opening salvos in World War III, billions of dollars in weapons and aid are moving into a country with zero accounting mechanisms and, of course, zero transparency. As for your host, though, I can't help but close this one with a question. What do you bet that Hunter, anyway, on behalf of the big guy, has a better idea where all of this is going than the IG? One of the places your host can't help but think and hope and pray that it's ultimately going anyway was revealed in the movie Network by the mad prophet of the airwaves character, Howard Beale. Remember this?
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
And as it turns out, he wants everyone to go to the window and yell something. Remember?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Well, sadly, folks, we're not there yet. And it does beg the question, for crying out loud, what's it going to take? But we've certainly seen more than enough indications of that. There are some pockets of hope, however, emerging even in unlikely areas. Here's one from Roy Green via Natural News about a boutique in an upscale neighborhood in, get this, Los Angeles has decided to take a proactive stance to protect its staff and store assets from mask-wearing criminals. Where Fraser Ross, owner of the Kitson chain of stores, hung signs at his Beverly Grove branch that read, "Due to the safety of our staff and the assets of the store, we do not allow the wearing of face masks." And he explained that they prioritize the safety of their staff and customers and have noticed a, quote, disturbing trend of individuals wearing masks to avoid identification in various situations, including, but not limited to, shoplifting, verbal harassment, and physical assault. The story references the recent gang looting of a Northern California Nordstrom's, where about 80 individuals, all wearing face diapers, entered the store with crowbars and began smashing and grabbing anything and everything they could get their hands on. And now, even the CDC has basically come out and admitted all of their idiotic mandates essentially didn't do squat. Now, he says, regardless of how it began, it's being used by some people for, quote, nefarious purposes. They come in the store with a mask on, said Ross. You know, they've got a bucket hat, a hoodie, and a mask. You can't even see their eyes. In a lineup, you'd never be able to identify them. So he's come out, folks, and reversed what honestly should have never happened nationwide in the first place. So if you insist on wearing that face diaper, we offer curbside pickup. But if you do, keep it outside. So is the dam finally starting to break? Well, not quite, but listen to this story, also from Natural News. UK government, it says, has confirmed that 9 in every 10 COVID deaths over the entire last year have been among, and you knew this, didn't you? We've been leading up to it, but now they're coming right out and at least statistically admitting it. 9 out of 10 deaths have been among the fully or triple or maybe quadruple vaccinated. The data's been out there since the 6th of July, but it's still being completely and independently analyzed. They make it as hard as they can to do that. Official figures published by the UK government reveal that the fully and triple vaccinated population has now accounted for over 9 in every 10 so-called COVID-19 deaths in England over the past year. Well, really, it's 91% of all COVID deaths since the beginning of 2022 and 94% of all deaths with COVID-19 since the beginning of April this year. In other words, it's getting worse. But that shouldn't surprise anybody. And by the way, let me say it again. This is only deaths of people that died with the Booga Booga flu, not counting those that died from all kinds of other side effects, complications, strokes, myocarditis, pericarditis, heart attacks, blood clots, and you name it, from the Zyklon B injection. Oh yeah, and we don't want to forget this either when it comes to statistical analysis. A car accident caused by somebody having a stroke poke-induced death on wheels might just kill some unvaccinated people along with them. And what about vaccinated pilots that maybe at least threatened to take out a whole crew and loaded airline full of people, some of whom are probably actually unvaccinated as well? Well, we have this from Robert W. Malone, MD, and we'll hopefully have more on this over coming days, who in an open letter to all freedom fighters says, I've been asked to disseminate the following among those who may have injuries or have been discriminated against due to the Zyklon B mandates. A major development, he begins, is breaking, and we can't emphasize the importance of this enough. The meeting was on August 30th, and it involved senior FAA official Bruce McGray, who publicly presented for the first time his sworn declaration and supporting exhibits, they provided links, against that agency for their involvement in the vaccine mandate and the resultant fallout. The presentation, and at this point it's past tense, will be aired via Zoom, and we need as many of our members as possible to join the call. The idea is to present both the complaint and ensure that all members have the information necessary to rescue their lives and, if possible, their careers. If you hold an FAA medical, he says, and fear its loss as a result of the mandated Zyklon B injection and vaccine complications, solutions, hopefully, were presented. And let me reiterate again, folks, as a pilot, why this is such a sticky wicket. Because there are all kinds of pilots that were forced to take the Zyklon B injection, and they did. And now, if they're suffering complications, they probably know their flying career is over. If they're not, but the truth comes out as to how deadly these things are and what the future implications might be, and the FAA was actually to reverse course and do the right thing? Well, guess what? Their flying career is also probably over because the FAA medical regulations say do not issue, do not fly. And I hope that'll help explain why so many pilots that know now what the regs have always said are saying, gee, I don't know if I want that to come out or not. Honestly, the truly responsible ones will ground themselves and say, hey, I guess my career isn't worth taking a plane load of passengers down to a fiery grave with me. And how many of those do you think you can count on the fingers of both hands? Yeah, folks, no wonder you're not hearing a lot about this, because it's a huge problem. It could, if the truth was actually to come out, literally ground the entire airline industry worldwide.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately. Are you hurt? The stare.
Absolutely, positively, without question, the mandate was a violation of the law, the Constitution, U.S. Federal Aviation Medical Regulations, the Nuremberg Principles, and even basic human decency, not to mention things like any variant you care to name of the Hippocratic Oath. But they did it anyway. They've killed, probably at this point, millions, some of whom are still dead men walking, and destroyed who knows how many careers, including, but not limited to, aviation. And almost everybody involved at this point, pilots and the so-called regulators that failed, as well as their doctors and other liars in a smock, have some kind of massive vested interest in not only covering it up, but CYA and continuing the lie, because the truth is just too incredibly damaging to ever have come out. You think anybody with half a brain is ever going to trust the FAA or any commercial airline that participated in this aviation Russian roulette with your life again? Now, in fairness to good people who are trying to do the right thing here, but having laid out the difficulty involved, I'm going to read some of this letter. Good afternoon, all, it says. Many of you are aware of our planned meeting for the 30th of August for a presentation by a notable team of heroes trying to salvage our global aviation industry. It names Bruce McGray, senior Federal Aviation Administration official and whistleblower, who will provide testimony about his experiences and efforts to prevent a most certain and looming aviation tragedy. He's joined by flight surgeons Dr. Teresa Long, Dr. Pete Chambers, and U.S. Freedom Flyers President Josh Yoder to discuss ways to screen, identify, and remediate or even repair vaccine injuries that aviation professionals and others may be suffering. Also presenting is Jeffrey Prather, inter alia senior special agent, retired, and Vandersteel, hostess and director of the Zelenko Foundation, and Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, U.S. Air Force retired, all of whom have battled the apathy, inaction, coercion, and corruption in our various governments in order to stop the killer shot mandates and preserve humanity. And no doubt about it, folks, these are good people, sincere people, trying to do the right thing. But let's continue. We have an opportunity, it says, to identify these pressing issues, help the injured and the unemployed, while repairing, and this is the place where I have to raise my eyebrows a bit. No, let's be frank. More than that, a hell of a lot. While repairing the relationships between regulators, law enforcement, aviation professionals, and the flying public. The meeting, it goes on to say, is about solutions that will hopefully save the aviation industry and reestablish working relationships between government and citizens, unquote. And let me put it this way, folks. If somebody has tried to kill you, not once, not twice, but who knows how many times, and they didn't get away with it yet, are you stupid enough to ever, ever turn your back on that person, much less trust them again? I'm going to suggest that a relationship with regulators that want you dead and haven't yet come out and admitted, oh yeah, we were duped beyond any rational belief. We were so stupid we didn't look at the data. We ignored our own regulations. We ignored our oath that we took before God, and we mandated that you take poison. How stupid do you think we are? Why, just how stupid can we be? Please, we're so sorry. People that truly terminally stupid, or more likely, that evil, aren't ever, ever worthy of any trust again whatsoever. You don't repair a relationship with Satan in the flesh. They do have a tough hill to climb here.
These things must be done delicately.
Here's another story, similar in some respects, obviously very different in others, and certainly a lot easier to fix. Comes from the Daily Mail, and the headline says, FBI staff, gee, who could have imagined it, folks, have lost confidence in the scumbag, lying whoremeister in charge. Yeah, Director Chris Wray, and they're calling for him, and gee, what took you so long, to step down, says a lawyer. One day after, and we talked about this story earlier, it emerged that the politically biased, lying scumbag agent who protected Hunter Biden and did other nasty evil stuff, like help cover up the election fraud and help facilitate the Banana Republic-style raid on the president's home at Mar-a-Lago, has left the bureau. Yeah, says a report, FBI rank and file have lost confidence in the lying, cheating, scumbag head of the snake.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
No, they're not on our team. And at best, they're mere morons. So how do we wrap up today? Well, remember, as the truth comes out, the truly evil will double down. Speaking from Pennsylvania on Tuesday, says a report from Hal Turner's radio show, the traitorous CCP marionette-in-chief, masquerading as the senile double-diapered Biden Fuhrer, issued a message to Americans who have figured out that they're being targeted. And here's the clip.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America, keeping America's independent and safe, If you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun.
Said the Biden Fuhrer to the small crowd, referencing that thing they hate, the Bill of Rights. And I'm not kidding, he added. You're not going to have an F-15, neither is your military. You're not going to have any guns once we're done with you. Hell, you won't even be able to afford to buy food, much less fill up your car. Have you figured it out yet? The truth is coming out. That's the good news. And they're doubling down. Know who you serve, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.